Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily Jensen here with my sister-in-law, Laura Wiffler.
Hello, hello.
And today we are super excited. It's been a while, but we have a free printable up on our website for you guys at risenmotherhood.com. You'll find it in our show notes. And it is beautiful and flowery and springy. Mm-hmm. We all need spring right now.
Yes.
And it is done by Anna from Copper Paper Company. You can find her at copperpaperco.com. And this printable features a verse, which kind of stems onto our theme for the year, biblical literacy, Psalm 119:10a, with my whole heart I seek you. So it's really beautiful. You might want to stick it in your Bible or stick it somewhere where you want that reminder that we long to just spend our whole lives in worship of God. It's beautiful.
Yes, it is. It's gorgeous. So head over, get it, download it, put it in a frame, pop it above your sink. Definitely do that and check out Anna. So today we are talking about how we feed our families. So this is sort of a complex, scary topic because there are so many opinions on it. There are, I feel like if you hop on Facebook, Emily, it's like what? It's sort of petrifying if you see one of those articles and then you read the comments. That is like a war zone in there. There's just so many fads and diets and ways of eating and lifestyles of food or something.
I know. And I think it's like a really, it's a status symbol too. I feel like in our culture of like the more you can eat certain ways, it says certain things about you and what you value and, you know, all of that. And so you can feel like, I feel like there's so much at stake with it sometimes. And whether we like it or not, like food takes up a huge portion of everyone's day. Like if you are a mom, and you're, you know, when you are around your kids, they're always needing to eat. About the time cleaning up the food and you're like, hey guys, go play now. They're like, it's snack time. It's meal time again.
I'm hungry. Yeah, no, totally. And I think like too, when you become a mom, like generally, if you are the person who decides, you know, what your family lifestyle and culture is around food, if you have a husband that does that, we are super jealous of you. but most moms usually seem to set the tone for food preferences. And then I know there's like a lot of stress as a new mom. What do I feed my baby for what's the first food they should have? Should it be egg whites or avocado? Or all of these things. So there's like stress around that and so much different research about what it should be and allergies. And then you move on and progress in life and you're wondering, what do I even eat? And is gluten bad? Or is, you know, should I be eating more kale? Or, you know, bacon is kind of a new thing right now. You know, it's just so confusing out there. And I think we all want to make wise food choices for our families. But at the same time, it can be a real trap. And I think something that Satan uses to very quickly just get our focus on something else. So,
So we're going to attempt to apply the gospel to
to food.
And just asking questions like how do we decide how much time to spend on these types of things? How do we know, like, is it okay to make more convenience food choices for our children? Like, can that be loving in some way? Or is it okay to be passionate about this and to want to love my family well through, you know, certain types of food or nutrition or having a garden in the back or whatever that looks like? So we're going to try to dive into that a little bit today. But first of all, we just wanted to, like, start by remembering that, what is that hashtag, Laura? First world problems.
Oh, it is a first world problem. That's right.
So I think it's just good for us to stop and remember, like, the fact that we have food is a huge mercy.
Yeah.
And God is very gracious to put food on our table. If you have food on your table, God has been very gracious to you. And this is so unique that we are like mincing out, like, which vegetable is okay? And like, are you having the non-GMO vegetable or the regular one? Because there are a lot of people in the world who don't even have access to basic nutritional food. And so it's just good for us to remember that.
Yep. Keep it in mind as we talk through this actually like real privilege that we all have. So, if we go through, this is risen motherhood, creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Let's see. So creation, this is what I love, Emily. I love thinking a little bit about how Adam and Eve were vegetarians and they, got to pet lions. I have been dying to pet a lion.
I haven't like, thought about that. I need to bring that up with the kids.
Just to stick my hand in a lion's mane sounds pretty awesome. So back then, pre-fall, pre-Genesis 3, Adam and Eve were vegetarians. Yeah. They ate all the food in the garden, and all the food was pleasant to the sight and good for food. So they were allowed to eat from every tree, except, as we all know, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But the great thing was, all food tasted good. It, you know, didn't harm their bodies in any ways. They didn't need to diet. They could eat of anything and they enjoyed it. It probably tasted, I can't even imagine. Yeah. Like, how good would chocolate taste? I mean, cocoa from one of the trees, how good would that be?
Wonder if they had coffee back then. They discovered coffee beans.
I know. I'm sure. I don't know.
Okay. We're getting a little off topic here. But we know, obviously we've talked about this a million times, that they decide that what God has given them, it's not good enough, or maybe there's something that they want to taste that's better than what he's provided. And so, they eat from the tree that they're not supposed to eat from. And all of a sudden sin enters the world. And we know that sin, it breaks everything. And so, there's a lot of different ways that people interpret the fall, but it's just good to remember it touches every facet of our lives. And so as time goes on, we see that food becomes an issue. It's hard to get food. Bacteria grows on food and it makes people sick. We can idolize food, or we can overeat food, and that can cause health problems. If we don't get the right kinds of foods, it can impact our bodies. So it's definitely, the fall, yeah, breaks the way we eat food and consume it.
Yeah. And back then too, there were a lot of laws around how they could eat food. And, you just take one little glance at Leviticus and you're going to see a lot of the laws. But when Christ came, he brought freedom from food. He fulfilled the law. And from that, we see so much grace in the food that we can enjoy today. We have a lot of options about things to eat. We no longer need to live under the Levitical law of, the different food preparation and things like that. It's an area of Christian freedom, essentially, because and only because of Christ's work on the cross. So of course it's still important to eat responsibly. You know, 1 Timothy 4 says we need to be wise stewards of our bodies, to care for and nourish our bodies well, because they are a temple of the Holy Spirit, as 1 Corinthians 6 says. So we want to remember we are made in the image of God, but the food choices that we make are an area of Christian freedom. Mm-hmm.
And I think there's some really good verses about this. They actually talk about food preferences and some of these very things we struggle with in our modern culture in the New Testament. So Romans 14 is an area where Paul starts to talk a little bit about, like, hey, some people are vegetarians, some people are not. You know, there's different food choices among believers, but we don't need to quarrel about that. There's a verse, Romans 14, 1-4. As for the one who's weak in the faith, welcome him, but do not quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything. The weak person believes they can only eat vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And it just goes on to talk about how we are not to be the judge of that, and that every person in their own conscience, for their own family, is going to have convictions about what they feel is the best type of food, and that we're not to have pride in that.
Exactly. And I love it because the Bible is very clear on this. I think a lot of stuff that Emily and I sort of tackle, it's, while it might be a gray area, like the Bible, you know, the Bible is always sufficient, I guess, on a topic, but it's not always exhaustive. And I feel like in this topic though, Paul like legit addresses it. And even, you know, with Peter in the early church, you can see an example of him where he struggles with food, in particular of the Jewish food restrictions and wanting to abide by them. But then sometimes he'd eat with the Gentiles who didn't have those food restrictions. But when the Jews would come over and catch him, he would run away because he didn't want to be seen eating all of the options that the Gentiles had to eat. And Paul totally called him out on it. So you can check that out as well. that's in, is it Galatians 2? So basically, we find that food choices are an area of freedom. And we are talking to, especially this show, we're not talking about like legit allergies or dietary restrictions that you need for your health. Obviously you have freedom in how you tackle those, but there are severe consequences with those. Right now, we're really talking about, the types of choices that we make that are optional. So we want to also be clear. We should have said that at the beginning probably, but
So the main thing is just, this is something you need to work out in the context of your own family. So we are going to just talk a little bit about some practical questions you can ask, going to the heart, which is really what matters and is really the source of, you know, we can all do similar things on the surface and do them for different reasons. So, just questions like, why are you choosing to feed your family these things, et cetera, et cetera. So, the first one is just, how much time do you spend thinking about what your family is going to eat and planning?
Yeah. So I think we need to think about, you know, how much do you think about, how much time each day do you give towards meal planning and preparation and, you know, thinking about what you're going to eat and if you ate something wrong? Are you really watching what your husband eats and your children eat? Maybe if you're not the one who prepared the food, you know, are you analyzing and critiquing that? I think sometimes we get so caught up in a certain diet or a fad that we're really like researching it like crazy because we want to defend it. We want to know like all the ins and outs and how we're going to eat like that. But a big question to ask yourself too is, how much are you researching it and studying and giving thought towards a certain way of eating versus how much time are you really spending in growing your relationship with God and spending time reading God's word and investing in your spiritual life? I think that is a real barometer of where, if you're maybe spending too much time on something, just like anything, if something is above your time with the Lord, it doesn't matter what it is. It shouldn't be there.
Yeah. And it's just terms in a priority in your heart, even more than like minutes you spend. We know everyone spends way, way, way more time prepping food. But, and again, another thing we're just trying to hammer out is like, how does this fit in the context of your family, in the context of what's important to your husband? Because you may be really passionate about this and you may be more passionate about Jesus than you are about food. And you may still spend a significant amount of time doing food stuff. Or, if you feel like, you know, I know for our family, like my husband really, really values breakfast, but like, he is okay that in this season, dinner is like not something that I spend hardly any time on. We're working through that. And so I try to follow that lead where I can and say, in the context of our family, of the things that are important to us, of the way we're trying to live out the gospel right now, certain types of foods or certain type of time spent on food isn't the highest priority for us, but it could be for different people in different seasons. So it's really family context matters.
Yeah. As a contrast to that, I think for our family, I think we've shared this before, but my family, we eat very little breakfast, like, fanciness. We eat breakfast, but it's pretty low key. And, but I really value, I love to garden and I love doing that with my children and I love to cook with my kids and it takes forever. And we make homemade bread. Generally, I've fallen off that a little bit. I definitely went through a season where I made homemade broth, you know, and I had that time. I mean, that was pre kids, but you know, like, I think it's not, yes, it's not about this is too much time and here's the rule and here's the line, but it is about what is your family culture? What do you value? What's your husband in agreement on? Does he agree that you are, does he think you're spending too much money at the grocery store on certain types of ingredients or maybe too much convenience food? Maybe he really wants some home cooked meals and he's asked you for that and you've just plain out refused. Or maybe you're stressed because you want to make all these homemade foods and you're not giving yourself any leeway or grace. And it's okay to just pop some chicken nuggets in the oven for once. And so, you know, you got to kind of look at that balance and scale and say, what does our family value? But am I still fulfilling my role as a mother and a wife? And am I able to, you know, really glorify God while I maintain these efforts that you've decided on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so a way to see if you are maybe kind of idolizing food or making a certain type of eating more important is to see your reaction when that can't happen. So when either maybe your husband deviates from it, or you go over to grandparents' house and they give your child something that you don't really want them to have, or maybe it's a friend's house, or maybe your child, you know, does get something, what do you do? Yep. Do you freak out? You know, like, or do you have a measured response and know that this is temporary? Again, we're not talking about allergies here. We're not talking about my child has like a serious health problem. We're just talking about, hey, I don't want my kid to have chocolate milk and somebody gave it to them. How do you react when that happens? Yeah. Is a good indicator.
And look at how your kids talk about food choices. I mean, especially as your kids get older, like how are they talking about their food choices? Do they have sort of a holier than thou attitude, or do they snub their nose at anyone who does choose to eat differently than them? Are they feeling like, you know, I can eat anything I want, and you know, that is so weird that you're eating that quinoa muffin or something. And so, you know, checking both directions, yes. Your kids are a good barometer of they're reflecting you.
Yes. And food is a great area of training. And mm-hmm. so I think if we're training or we're teaching our kids food is for nutrition, it's, again, it's not something we should feel pride in, which was kind of the last point we wanted to bring out, that our choice in food, like Laura said, whether it's that it's okay for you to have Cheetos and Gatorade, or you cannot have, you know, any sugar. We only eat clean, whatever end of the spectrum you're on. Nobody gets to feel pride mm-hmm. in that, because it's an area of Christian freedom. And like we said at the beginning, it's a mercy that we have food. And so we need to be talking to our children about things and modeling a gratitude for food, whatever those choices are, whatever you're passionate about, and not seeking to like convert others to whatever our style is.
Yeah. I think that you can look at some questions to ask yourself. Do you feel a need to talk with other people all the time about the way that you eat and what your family's decided to do for their food? Or are you spending a lot of time wanting to talk, or even talk about how you don't like a certain fad, you know? Maybe you're doing this online and maybe you're doing this in person. You know, what's your tone of voice too when you're talking to someone, or when you're typing on social media? And social media might be maybe a little better of a look at what your heart says. You know, are you trying to convince people to convert? That's a big one. And so really it's not even what you say aloud, but just checking your heart. Like the issue isn't the fact that you have chosen to be, you know, gluten-free, vegetarian. We eat every type of food under the sun. That isn't the issue. The issue is, what is your heart valuing? Is it idolizing a certain way of eating? And if so, that's where we want to check yourself before you wreck yourself, basically.
Yeah. So the main kind of takeaways we wanted to talk about today, yeah, wasn't to try to prescribe for you like what the right kind of way to feed your family is. Laura and I don't have the answer to that question.
No.
For your family or for you. But just to encourage all of us to remember the big picture, of what God has called us to live a life that worships Him and brings Him glory and is humble before His throne and remembers that the grace He's given us is a gift, including all of the other good things that He gives us. To remember we're not supposed to be divided mm-hmm. with fellow believers or others over these types of issues. We're not supposed to judge other people on these things, as we said earlier, and that we all have a responsibility in the context of our family to look at our time, what we've sat down with our husbands and said we're passionate about, or we want to spend our time here for the sake of glorifying Christ. Mm-hmm. What does that look like for our family right now? Just be thoughtful about it, whatever that might be. Yep. Might be your thoughts to do more convenience things or another way.
That's right. All right. That's a good spot to end. As you go forth in your day, I hope that you will stop over to risenmotherhood.com and download that printable from Copper Paper Company. It is super beautiful and I think you're going to love it. Of course, also find us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Risen Motherhood. You can easily find us, and we'll be talking about food probably all week, so you'll get more there. And then of course, if you have time, we would love it if you'd give us a rating or review on iTunes. Best way to spread the word about the show, help other moms find us. So we would really appreciate if you would take 5 minutes and go ahead over there and tell us, rate and review the show. Have a great day.